We have been discussing some of the halachas of mukta, and specifically the category known as keli shemelachta le'isur, a utensil that's used to accomplish something which one is not allowed to do on Shabbos, something that's used for the purpose of a malacha. We mentioned that a keli shemelachta le'isur may be moved from place to place on the basis of need for the place, where it is what we call tzarech makomo, so that it's in a very bad place, we need that spot, or there's something underneath it we have to get to, which means it's in the way. Even if we're not going to use that spot, it's just that it's sitting there where underneath we have to get to something that it's resting upon, and it's really not supposed to be there. We're not talking about something that's on what we call a basis, ladavar ha'asur. We'll discuss that some other time. It just happened to be left where it happened to be left. So, you know, if somebody left something on their bed and wants to now go to sleep, and it might be something that's heavy and you can't necessarily lift it off by just picking up the blanket, then it's going to fall off by itself. Something that is muktzah, that is not too sensitive, and is not muktzah because of chesaron kis, maybe picked up by hand and moved from where you left it so that you can use the space where it rests. So if something, for instance, let's say, like a camera is left where it doesn't belong, and it's something that's not too sensitive and not too expensive, you might use it for some other purpose if necessary, then you'd be allowed to pick it up and move it in order to use the place or the spot where that object is resting. A pen that's left on a bed, a hair dryer, a blow dryer, even though you might not want to necessarily use it for very many things, and it perhaps is something that's a bit sensitive, but it's not what you'd call muktzah machmas chesron kis. It's not that expensive that you never, ever would use it ad hoc, even if you had to. So therefore, you're allowed to pick it up by hand and move it so that you can go to bed. That's the case for something that's usable, something that's a keli shemelachto le'isur, and the place that you have it resting happens to be the wrong place for it right now. The other circumstance in which you're allowed to move something that's a keli shemelachto le'isur is where it is tzarech gufo. You actually have to use it to accomplish something that is allowed to be accomplished on Shabbos. So it might seem strange, but if somebody has to use something to point to the letters or words on a page, otherwise they won't be able to read, they would actually be allowed to pick up a pen and use it to point to what they need to point to. If that's what they absolutely need in order to read, then that's what they'd be allowed to do. It's something that you might not think a person would readily do, and it's something which I've rarely seen anybody do it, but if it's absolutely necessary and there's no other way to read a book, but I must have something to point as I move along the page, then even something muktzah like a pen would be something you could take in your hand and use that way. Because it's a keli shemelachto le'isur, usually does writing, which is prohibited, but to use it as a pointer would be permissible. That's called tzarech gufo. Tzarech gufo means I need to use it. What's important to know is that tzarech gufo does not mean I need to do it and move it to protect it in order that it not get ruined. That's not allowed. Grounds for moving something muktzah do not include protecting that item from being damaged. The classic case where we say, you know, it's going to get damaged by the sun or the wind or the rain. Unfortunately, that's not a reason to permit moving something that's muktzah. Not by ourselves, not directly. If it's something that's valuable and it's going to get ruined, you might be allowed in certain circumstances to ask someone else who's not Jewish to move the item so that we are spared this huge loss. But something that's muktzah, that's left where it's not supposed to be, you cannot say, well, I'm going to move it in order to save it, that's not tzoruch gufa. Because that's not using it, that's trying to just spare it from damage. So the cases go on and on and on. Somebody leaves something out on a patio, and now it looks like it might rain, and the item is certainly mukta. And typically, we would never be moved on Shabbos, but it's going to rain, so you have to try to find someone else to move it for you. There are times and circumstances where you'd be allowed to cover the item. We'll talk about that separately. But to move something because it's going to get ruined if you leave it where it is, if that something is a keli shemilachto le'iser, let alone any other kind of category of muksa, you're not allowed to move it. Now, there is a concept of using a keli that's almost always used in a way that you could not use it on Shabbos, but commonly people use the keli in a way that is permissible, and therefore you might make your life a lot easier that way. And as we said, that would mean, for example, using a smaller pot to save a small amount of leftovers, even though the pot normally is used for cooking, but if that's where you're going to put your leftovers, that's something commonly done. So you're certainly allowed to take the small pot on Shabbos, put the leftovers in the small pot, and put that small pot in the refrigerator. Another very commonly used item that's certainly electronically used, and it washes dishes electronically, may not be used on Shabbos. You can't turn the dishwasher on. And therefore, the whole dishwasher, though it's tucked into the, you know, counter or under the counter, and you might not think of it as a keli, but actually it is a keli. It's a large, heavy utensil, but it's a utensil. And therefore, the door of the dishwasher and the racks of the dishwasher, it's all part of a keli shemilachto le'iser. But while it's a keli shemilachto le'iser used to wash dishes electronically and automatically, it's also commonly used to store dishes that are not clean. Some people, for instance, might have just two or three people home during the week, and after dinner Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, they'll put dishes in. They don't run the machine because it's empty. Until Thursday night, Friday, it's empty, so they wait for it to fill up. And then they turn it on and wash all of the dishes of the week, which means that they're using the dishwasher as a place to store the dishes that are dirty. They may rinse them a little bit, put them in the appropriate rack in the dishwasher, and then, you know, press the button to wash the dishes, put the soap in and press the button to wash the dishes once a week. The same thing is allowed to be done by us on Shabbos. After the Friday night meal, for example, or the Shabbos afternoon meal, one is allowed to rinse the dishes just with water. You don't wipe them very much. Certainly you can't use a sponge on Shabbos. But you might rinse them and take the dishes after you've cleared them and place them in their appropriate spot on the rack, the glasses and the cutlery in their appropriate baskets in the racks for the dishwasher to be washed after Shabbos. And the reason you're allowed to do that is because, again, although it's a keli shemilachto le'iser, but you're using it to store the dishes. You're using it as a place to put the dishes that are dirty. You don't want them sitting around on your table. You don't want them on your countertop. So you're putting them in a place that's convenient. You're not even doing it so much to prepare for the washing. You know, you might say, well, isn't it hachana me Shabbos l'chol? Aren't you preparing for the process of washing them after Shabbos? Yes and no. It might be that you would like to wash them after Shabbos, but you also would like to get them out of the way, so to speak, and you also want your house to look nice on Shabbos, and that too is a priority, which is the very reason why there's so much that you're allowed to do at the Shabbos table in terms of cleaning up things that are, you know, crumbs that are not usable and that no one's going to eat, bones that certainly nobody can eat, the chicken bones. And even if there are chicken bones that you can eat, there are always some bones that are so hard, maybe bones that come out of the chunk, that are absolutely not edible and have been picked clean of anything edible, and that therefore have a din of actually being mukza, but you're allowed to remove them because of another halacha we will talk about, of Gerv Shel Re'i, which is all about, you know, making your house clean and your table clean, l'kavod Shabbos. So here too, you're allowed to take the dishes with whatever that's not clean on those dishes. Remove them from the Shabbos table, and you don't have to keep them on the counter. You're allowed to put them in this convenient storage area, which is the dishwasher. Yes?
What about the category for removing a vase with flowers on Shabbos because you need the space?
So we'll talk about moving, you know, flowers and a vase, and certainly cut flowers may be moved. And we will discuss the issue of plants where you probably cannot and should not be moving them on Shabbos. And they are different. We will get to that. Yes?
Last week you said putting away a pot you can't do unless you need the space. But wouldn't what you're just saying now be enough of a reason that you want your house to look nice for Shabbos and it bothers you that there's a pot in the dish rack?
If something is in the way, then you're allowed to move it. If something is not where you want it to be, but it's not dirty, it's not unbecoming, so then we really shouldn't be moving it. The fact that something like doesn't belong where it is, but it doesn't really bother you, it doesn't really matter. You know, you might have an entrance hall, and as you walk into the house at the entrance hall, you have some kind of a decorative desk of some kind, and some doilies on it, and you know, some plants and perhaps something that decorates the foyer or the entranceway to your home. And somebody left something muktzah on that. But it's not in the way. You don't need the space. It just doesn't look like it's kavod Shabbos. That's really not a reason to move something that's muktzah. Yeah?
Friday night, if you're going to leave soup on the block, right, can you pour it off Friday night? If you're leaving soup on the block for Shabbos morning, but you want to save some, can you take a pot and pour it off into the other pot Friday night?
For the week.
You certainly are allowed to take off food that might get ruined if you have too much of it and it's not going to last and you want to take some out and leave some. You're allowed to remove some if you're not going to eat that food. You can take it off the blech and put it away in a refrigerator so it doesn't get ruined. That would be okay. It's not muktzah, that's for sure. And it's not really, you know, so much of a hachana, unless that's what you plan to do, where you cook and it finishes cooking, gets to be just the way you like it on Shabbos, and you planned on having that much more because some of it you'll use on Shabbos and the rest you're going to use during the week, and you want to take off what is not needed on Shabbos, and you planned it all this way, so then you really shouldn't do that, because what you're basically doing is making sure to plan your week by using food that you're cooking and warming up, and the completion of the cooking process happens on your blech on Shabbos, so there is an aspect of mechin meshabbos l'chol. But if you just change your mind, or you look at it and say, oh gosh, there's so much here, it's a shame to have it all boil out or become too salty or become too dry, I might as well take some off. I don't need all of this here. I'll save some for later in the week. That would be okay. There's a category of muktzah, which is that which is not usable and typically something that people don't use in any way. It occurs perhaps naturally, or it might be man-made, but it can't be used as it is. It needs to be incorporated into something else, such as building material. As an example, it's man-made, in as much as some of it might be literally man-made, from, you know, rubber to plastic, whatever we use to create these things, they are certainly man-made. Lumber is man-made to the extent that it's shaped and cut to certain sizes. It might be treated lumber as well. But all of these things are not ready to be used. I'm not talking about plastic bags, which might constitute a keli as far as the halachas of Shabbos are concerned, even if they're not considered kelim as far as tumah and tyra. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, you would call a plastic bag a keli. Certainly a plastic bag isn't muktzah. I'm talking about something that's raw and that yet has to be used, shaped, built, banged, or otherwise incorporated into something else. such as building material. A pile of bricks. Somebody had some construction done at their home, and the contractor has left some bricks laying around. The bricks are meant to be used as part of the building or extension or whatever work might be done. That's not in and of itself a keli. It's a usable thing, but it doesn't get used to accomplish anything by itself. So in this case, for example, where the contractor has left these bricks laying around, unless you have designated a particular brick for a particular use for this coming Shabbos, and you've done that Erev Shabbos, just to say, well, it's, you know, it's in the way, and somebody, you know, might use it for something, let me pick it up, I'll use it as a paperweight. A, even if you need it as a paperweight, you're not allowed to pick it up. It's not a keli shemelachta liyisur. B, that's a very, very poor excuse for, you know, trying to clean up on Shabbos. Now, we're not talking about a case in which somebody might trip over this. In that case, you should certainly kick it out of the way with your foot. But to actually pick it up by hand and say, you know, I need the space or it's in the way, I need to use it for some other use, these are not permissible uses of this item, because this item, this brick, is not a keli. It's not a keli shemelachta leheter. It's not a keli. It's a raw material. And therefore, it's muktzah machmas gufa. Another example of muktzah machmas gufa, things that fall from the trees in the fall, the autumn, has many, many things, whether they are leaves or those little acorns that fall off the tree. These are all muktzah. And interestingly enough, you might not realize it, but if you just want to sit outdoors and there are leaves on a chair and you'd like to sit down, you're not supposed to take your hand and brush the leaves away by hand, because the leaves are muktzah. And at best, just tilt the chair and let the leaves fall off. But to move the leaves by hand directly is not allowed, because the leaves are muktzah. Now, the reason they're muktzah is because they're not kelim. They're not utensils. They're not things that man prepares for use. You didn't prepare to use the leaves in any way. And therefore, they're simply muktzah.
But aren't they in the way? Isn't that where you can move them?
No. Something in the way that can be moved is allowed to be moved if it's a keli. Shemalach tuli iser. And it's not muktzah machmas chesron kis. But something which is muktzah machmas gufa is muktzah, and there's no way around the problem. Money. Money is not a keli. Now, it's a very usable thing. At least that's what I'm told. But it's muktzah. I mean, I could argue that money is muktzah all 7 days of the week.
Yeah.
But money is muktzah. Because it's not something that, you know, we can use or normally use for anything but exchange of the money for services or for items. But it's not something that in and of itself does anything. And even though it's possible to use a coin, sometimes you might use it to pry something open, as an example. It has uses, but that's not how it's normally used. And therefore, a coin, unless and until you've done something to it to change it radically, a simple coin is muktzah. Now, if you take a coin and, for example, drill a hole through the coin and prepare it to become some kind of a chain or a medallion, so then it ceases to be a coin. You've changed it, and you've made a keli out of it. You've made a medallion or a necklace out of it. That's something else. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is an actual, you know, dollar bill or coin. That's muktzah. And it's muktzah, again, because it's not something that you can use to shape or change or build or create with. It's something you use to exchange for money. There's another very, very interesting thing that you might not realize as muktzah, and that's a credit card. And again, I could argue that the credit card is very muktzah all 7 days of the week.
Yes.
But a credit card A credit card is, again, it's not a keli. It is something that works for the sense of getting you a certain purchase. It might be a debit card. It's a credit card. It works to identify who you are and whether or not you can obtain the credit needed in order to purchase something. But it doesn't do anything. It contains information with which you are able to make a purchase. And the very fact that that's how it's used, which is to conduct business, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, is the very reason why what it does is something that's mukta, or that makes it mukta, because it's something that you can't do on Shabbos. And it's something that's not typically used for anything else. Now, you could perhaps say, and this is a rare case, that an old card that's no longer usable and that you've begun to use for something else, maybe your kids play with it, maybe your grandchild plays with it, maybe, you know, you use it, I don't know, for to underline or to read. Again, sometimes people, when they have difficulty reading, especially small print, they'll take a straight card, you know, something with a straight flat side, put it down on the page, and move it as they go from line to line to line to line. So that you could not do with a credit card that's current, that could still be used. But if you have an old credit card, that's what you've been using it for, and it's an expired card, and you've been using it before Shabbos already for that purpose, so you've created out of that card something to help you read, that would be an exceptional case. But that's an exceptional case that I mentioned to you to point out to the extreme of how far you would have to go in order to be allowed to use or pick up a credit card on Shabbos. Because it's something that's mukta, and it's not a keli. It's the same as money. A credit or debit card is therefore the same as money, and something that's absolutely mukta and really can't be moved. And if it's in the way, you have a problem. If it's something that's in your pocket, for example, that you left your money in your pocket, and now the entire jacket or suit or dress or shirt, pants, whatever, has having this money in it, means that you're carrying around muktzah all day. What you should try to do is find a safe place to ease the money or take the garment off and shake it such that the money drops out, and that way you're not going to be walking around with the money all the time. You are allowed to go to a safe place where the money can be left. In other words, you don't have to like say, okay, here I am, I have to take off my garment, shake it, and have the money drop on the floor, you know, in my friend's house, on the street, or, you know, in the Beis Medrash. But you need to find someplace safe where the money will, you know, be deposited, and deposit it without picking it up by hand. Just have it somehow fall out, and then you'll retrieve it after Shabbos.